I'm going to burn this donut to show you how many calories it has.
No!
The bright blue flame indicates this was a particularly sweet donut.
This is not happening. This is not happening.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how are you?
I am very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Huh? I like that, huh?
Love
Still
it.
Got it. So I guess we better...
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like we should kind of start off... Oh, no, after you. I feel like we
I couldn't
should
possibly.
Start off by sort of, I guess, people were banging down my door, Terry, saying, where was the last episode?
Really?
We ran into some, I guess...
That's great!
Technical issues. We sort of, I don't know... The audio, basically the way we edit
was
this,
not usable.
It wasn't usable, and the
that's
way
not,
we edit
that's not
is like just like Terry records his audio, I record mine, and we splice them together. First of all, there was a big 40-second gap missing, which we didn't know what had gone missing, and then you could hear like an echo 2 seconds after, and it was a whole it was unusable. So we're gonna go back at the end of the season and do the ones that we've missed. So the clip show. And what is the other one? Treehouse of Horror.
Treehouse of Horror. You'll get them, folks. You'll get them.
You'll get
them. Let me tell you, you're
Maybe
glad.
You, can start
you should be
rating
glad
us five
last
stars.
Week's one didn't make it.
We did you a favor.
Yeah. What do we got
show.
This week, Andy?
This week we have season 4, episode 19, The Front. I have a bit of trivia for you if you're interested.
Please.
It was aired on April 15th, which is almost 25. Well, we're pretty much in sync, almost 25 years to the day.
I was just thinking that myself, actually.
Yeah, April 15th, 1993. And it was written by Adam I. Lapidus and directed by Rich Moore, which, I'll be honest, sounds like a fake
that
name.
That sounds like a phony name, That's got to be phony.
And there was a few interesting things about the production. Lapidus, whoever this guy is, saw a news report on TV about three 13-year-olds who wrote a script for Tiny Toon Adventures, where Buster and Babs go Hawaiian, which I think I remember that episode, actually. It was a good one. And so they did a sort of a similar thing. Because it's the only episode written by Lapidus, it caused dispute amongst the show's fans whether he actually exists or whether he's a pseudonym. And also the initial running time for this episode was really short, so the writers had to use, quote, every trick in the book to make the episode reach maximum length, even after greatly expanding the original script and adding an extra long couch gag. The episode was still a minute too short, so they put the Adventures of Ned Flanders little segment at the end.
Just on the couch thing, we were talking about it now, but it was that one where it's the chorus line. But that's like the fifth time it's come up this year for me.
It has come up quite a lot.
Bootleg copies.
They obviously the general reaction to the Ned Flanders thing was like, what was that? But it did inspire some of the writers to come up with that 22 short films about Springfield. That was sort of like the inspiration for me, I guess. So I guess it was well worth it. There were some censor issues in this episode. The first one was a dream in the dream sequence when Bart points the machine gun at Santa and hijacks the sleigh. And the second was an objection in which the itchy and scratchy animators are seen observing a cat, then putting a stick of dynamite in the cat's mouth and lighting it. No, that was cut for the censors, but it's you can see it as a deleted scene in the box set.
But the other one stayed in. The lie in the snow and count to 50.
But I guess they had two objections. The first one they obviously could do, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, that one was in mine too, but the other one wasn't. It finished 21st in the ratings with a Nielsen rating of 12.5, equivalent to 11.6 million households. Highest rated show on Fox, beating Married with Children. And here it is, that book again. The I Can't Believe It's a Bigger and Better Updated Unofficial Simpsons Guide praised the front as an ironic look at the animation industry with a higher than average itchy and scratchy count. Which I kind of thought myself while watching this, I'm sure we'll get to at the time, but there was a lot of in jokes for like comedy writers in this episode.
Loads.
Yeah. It was almost like an episode written for writers.
There was one there, I have it here, where it's like how to write a successful, how to get rich writing cartoons.
Yeah, I've seen that by John
Swartzel. He's a writer on The Simpsons. Yeah. He'd done like 60 episodes or something like that. Like, so
if anyone should write a book, it would be him.
Yeah. Although 60 is like a drop in the bucket, really.
Yeah.
They also
but that's
have
kind
a
of all
I don't know if
got.
I don't know if you know well that bit where it's like at the awards, and it was the Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, clip not completed yet.
Yeah, that's because.
What's that about?
It was like a slam on Ren and Stimpy.
It felt like a slam.
Yeah, and it was kind of like because they're that guy who wrote for them for Ren and Stimpy. Was writing that the Simpsons show succeeded despite the writing, but apparently Ren and Stimpy apparently ran really far behind schedule all the time, so that's why it's like the season 3 premiere and it's like clip not done yet, in your face
zinger. Ren and Stimpy was shy anyway.
Stimpy, you idiot!
Like I really liked it as a kid, but I would. I liked it as a kid, but I couldn't watch it now.
I tell you, the only thing I like about it is that Billy West does the voices, and I'm a huge fan of him. Who's like
from Futurama fame?
Yes, a Futurama fame. But he does all the new Looney Tunes voices now and stuff.
Right.
But I listened to him on Mark Maron's podcast. Jeez, he's a very interesting guy.
Is he? Yeah,
mental.
I'd say so.
Yeah, a bit mental. But like, yeah, he's really... guys out there, if you're a subscriber to WTF with Mark Maron, why don't you give it a listen?
Official sponsors of the podcast.
This week we got to ring it down to Mark Maron.
That's kind of all I've got on my end anyway. Yeah, I don't know if you have anything.
Me too, no. Those few bits there. You covered pretty much all of it. So your couch gag was the same?
It was the chorus line and all that sort of stuff. Did you catch the chalkboard gag?
I did. Now what was it on your one? Because it says on my one it was I will not sell miracle cures.
Yeah, that's what I said on mine.
Yeah, but funny enough, because I have the trivia up here, it Bart's chalkboard sentence is "My pen is not a booger launcher." So, make of that what you will. What do you prefer?
I kind of prefer the miracle cures one.
I don't know. I kind of like the booger launcher one because
I'll be honest, they're both kind of.
He's more likely to be throwing boogers with his pen, isn't he?
Yeah, but I'd like to see the backstory behind the miracle cures. You know,
well, he's just outside selling stuff to the kids.
Yeah.
selling Wendell some tonic to get rid of his stomach aches, his car sickness.
Usually the chalkboard gags are sort of, you
it's
know.
a deep cut there, lads. Deep cut.
On that bombshell.
Shall we get into the episode proper?
Please.
Hey!
You're so, stealing my pleases?
Yeah, we start off with, again, it's I love when we don't start with the Simpson family, you know. And like
you
said,
love when they start with something on TV.
Yeah, like Mick Bain in, you know, Last Days of Springfield. This one here, it's Cooking with Krusty.
I was already laughing when I seen that coming up, Cooking with Krusty. I was like, here we go.
But like, I love the, just the look of the guy next to him, the chef or whatever he is. Like, he's like, now Krusty, I hear it's your birthday, so I got your mother's recipe for matzo ball soup.
Hey, I don't do the Jewish stuff on the air.
But Heuschel, Bubala.
Ixnay on the OJ.
I love how your man is like cupping his hands, or his fingers together. Like,
I know.
Talking with his hands. Like,
almost pleading. But Heuschel.
Yeah. Boobala. So we cut out to the kids, and it's Lisa saying, it's so sad that Krusty is ashamed of his roots. To which you see Homer, and this, I know, it's just a great little non sequitur with a plunger stuck on his head.
The plunger, completely vertical. Like, what happened?
Exactly. How? Like, and then it looks like he's trying to get it off, and then the handle comes off. He's like, oh.
Homer.
So they ask what they're gonna choose their names to when they grow up.
Very quick to come up with those names as well. They've obviously thought about it. Yeah. Lois Sanborn and Steve Bennett, two like, good names.
I like Steve Bennett, I have to say.
Yeah.
So I think we go into a bit of Itchy and Scratchy.
Ippy and Dippy. That was the best episode of Ippy and Dippy I ever seen.
And we get, you know, what is it called? Dazed and Confused. It's literally just like Itchy. Not even like
tapping him.
Yeah, exactly that. It's just like, ow.
He, he. Ow.
I like how on the third one it's changed up, like.
And that's
and then at the end, it's like, kids, say no to drugs. And you see Krusty, he's already having a bad day.
He's already smoking.
Better
as
get
well.
A tune out of my hey, kids. Wasn't that a great cartoon?
I love I love Krusty smoking. I don't know why.
Yeah,
what a character he is.
Yeah,
one of my favorites. Well,
he's top. I think he's top three.
Yeah, definitely.
Him, Burnsy, and I guess Homer. But if you cut out the family, him, Burnsy, and
Moe or Skinner would be up there for me.
Oh, Moe too. Yeah.
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 A similar enough character to Krusty. Basically, he's more of a down on your luck character.
He's Krusty without the fame and fortune.
Yeah.
So basically, they say it's as tasteless as the Itchy and Sambo cartoons of the late 30s. Did you pick up on this?
I didn't pick up on this reference. I was hoping that you would tell me.
I can't be 100%. I think it's you remember those like really racist Walt Disney cartoons
that were like
jungle people or whatever like that, like, you know, they have those big like portrayal,
just
like
poor
giant
taste.
Lips, yeah, really, like. So that's what came to my mind because she said they're from the 30s, like. So,
yeah, as soon as she said the 30s, I figured it was something offensive.
Yeah. So She says the riders should be ashamed themselves, and they say, well, the two of them could write a better cartoon. And then Lisa's like, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And I love this joke, where it's like, Bart's like, probably not, and it's him with like an automatic rifle. And it's just like Santa Claus, they're like, lie in the snow and count to 60.
And then it's Merry Christmas, suckers. Yeah.
But it was always a joke that stuck with me as a kid, that it was like, yeah, you know, I wasn't old enough to realise what a little shit Bart was, but this is actually one of the ones where I know. Think it's one of his better jokes. Like,
yeah,
you think, oh, he's so cool.
That was more what I thought as a kid.
Yeah,
yeah, he's how so cool. He's is so that cool.
Guy? He writes like people talk.
Plus, I liked after that where Marge is going through the bills, and she's like, third notice, final notice, some guys are coming.
It's just a nice little reminder to let you know how poor the Simpsons are. Like,
yeah. Now, actually, I'll tell you what, I'll stop myself right there, because we've actually got a clip of this upcoming scene. Unprecedented. So we will play the clip and come back to you after that.
Third notice? Final notice? Some guys are coming. What's this? An invitation to our high school reunion. Gee, that's odd. They didn't send one to you.
This is it, Homer. It's time to tell her the terrible secret from your past. Marge, I ate those fancy soaps you bought for the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
No, the other secret. Marge, I never graduated from high school.
Well, that still doesn't explain why you ate my soap. Wait, maybe it does.
I never passed Remedial Science 1A.
And you're a nuclear technician?
Marge, ixnay on the nuclear nay ignition tay.
What did you say?
I don't know. I flunked Latin, too.
What do you think those fancy soaps actually taste like? Soap?
Well, I'm guessing soap.
I think that's a great line. Though. Tell her the terrible secret from your past.
Plus, I always like the fact that, again, Homer with his monologues. You know,
yeah. But I love Marge's reaction to it. He's like, "I ate those fancy soaps you bought for the bathroom." Like, oh my God!
And his brain kicks in then. He's like, yeah. No, you're the secret. I like that.
Yeah.
And again, more pig Latin. It's like, ixnay on the ukulier ne ignition te.
He's like, I failed Remedial Science 1A. He's like, and you're a nuclear technician? It's like, that's a very good joke. That's the subject that he failed. Like, knowing your 1A. Characters. Yeah,
and they couldn't have made a sound more dumb, like for science, like Remedial Science 1A.
Good stuff. Yeah, great clip. So the two guys are upstairs, Bart and Lisa, and they're reading that book we talked about, the John Swartzelder book. And according to it, the first thing they need is a setting, and. They're looking out the Bart's looking out the window, and you just see Homer clipping the hedges.
Yeah.
For once, doing a bit of yard work, and as he's clipping it, he chops Marge's hair into.
Yeah, like 3 feet of it.
Yeah, a great couch gag, or a sight gag. Sorry, ooh, couch gag.
Yeah.
Great ass sight gag, and then I love how he's like she's oblivious, like.
Yeah. And he just runs off.
He put it like the twig puts a twig in it and uses it to stand up. Yeah,
that was one of those gags that always stuck with me as a kid for some reason. Yeah. I always remember that one.
I really think it's good. Yeah. So they decide they're gonna go to a barber shop, and Lisa says, "Okay, Scratchy's getting a haircut. Then Itchy, the barber, chops Scratchy's head off with a razor." Bart doesn't like it. He says, instead of it, Itchy covers Scratchy's hair with barbecue sauce, opens a box of flesh-eating ants, and the rest writes itself. Now, they show both clips. Which one did you prefer? Did you prefer the headshot?
I guess I preferred the flesh-eating ants one, only because more for the end where he goes Elvis up the barber chair through the roof. Yeah, I think, ah, this show ain't no good.
Yeah, I like that.
Just shoots him in the face.
I like the Mexican hat dance, you know.
Yeah. Generally, I do like Itchy and Scratchy cartoons, especially as the seasons go on. Like, yeah. They get really sort of smarter, you know.
Special director Quentin Tarantino. Or like Oliver Stone. Oh, yeah. He's been shot.
I'd love to watch, actually, well, I'd love to watch just a montage or just like a compilation of all the Itchy and Scratchies back to back.
Yeah.
But I'd say after about 10 sure. minutes that I'd have enough.
I'd say, four clips, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, probably right.
Yeah. So they're trying to decide whose name goes first, and Bart says, all right, he proposes a race around the world. Meet him at Leicester Square at noon tomorrow. The Queen herself shall drop the checkered flag. Like him, Bart, in this episode so far.
I did like that joke. I had a little chuckle at that joke myself. Yeah. And for some reason, I wrote notes, I just wrote Leicester Square. But I guess I was supposed to have a point about it. But I can't remember what it was. Yes, but I did like the joke. He said Leicester Square.
So they end up playing rock, paper, scissors. And Bart goes
poor, rock, predictable rock. Bart. Always takes rock.
Good old rock. Nothing beats that.
That's a good one too. Yeah. Rock, paper, dough.
Yeah.
Another non-Homer dough there. I know you appreciate those.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm a big fan of rock, paper, scissors myself.
Me too, but I always feel like I have to specify because everyone has different rules and I can't whether you go on three or whether you go one, two, three, go on rock, paper, scissors. And I can't tell you the amount of times over the years that we've clarified with someone, okay, so we're going to go on three and then they go one, two, three and they're going up again for the next one. I'm like, no, we just decided on three. That's my only issue with rock, paper, scissors.
That's a bit of psychological warfare right there.
it's been all right.
That's a free tip. It's a free tip. Free comedy tip, Slick.
Free comedy tip, Slick. Yeah. The rock, paper, scissors gag only works.
The sap's got dignity.
You know what,
so,
I'm going to stop you right where you stand. We have what may be my favorite clip of the episode anyway, but we will play it and come back to you after this.
You call this writing? If I puked in a fountain pen and mailed it to the monkey house, I'd get better scripts.
But sir, at Harvard they taught
us... Harvard they taught you? Hit the streets, egghead. You should have majored in not getting fired.
Sir, Elisa and Bart Simpson sent you a script.
Yeah. Dear Mr. Myers, my brother and I watch your show. You should be proud that children everywhere, blah, 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 bling, 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 blah. Hey, egghead! Sing Fair Harvard.
Fair Harvard, I... You, sir, have the boorish manners of a Yaley.
Here's a witty rejoinder for you.
Oh.
Even at the very start of this episode, of this clip, I was laughing. Yeah, I don't know if it's like Roger Meyer's voice or it's just like, you call this writing? And it, like straight away I was laughing. Oh, Harvard they taught you. Hit the streets, egghead.
See, I do like I think it's great. It's a really funny clip. But the only thing, and it is funnier because of this, but it's not the real Roger Meyer's voice.
Isn't it?
No, it's the guy who does the Roger Meyers voice, the guy called Alex Rocco. He was in The Godfather, and he was in... he's an old 70s actor. And if you see the first episode, he's like, the screwballs are revolting, you know, when Marge goes up against Itchy and Scratchy. And then it's like, so my father, in the one with Chester J. Lampwick, so he ripped off Manic Mailman. He's like, Chief Wiggum, Edward G. Robertson, you name it. It's like, if we don't come up with it, who's going to do it? Points at Marge. It's a slightly different voice. I think this one is Hank Azaria doing it.
I really like Hank Azaria doing it, I have to say.
Me too. But I would love to hear what your man has to say, or what his version sound like.
To be honest, like, I don't know if it's just, I think Hank Azaria has better like comedic timing, you know?
It's just,
I mean, this guy is obviously, I didn't notice that at all.
I'm a bit of a stickler for his voice. Because I just love his voice. I think it's brilliant.
I can't even picture it now. I just always assumed I would have never even known it was a different voice.
Oh, it is. Even like if you think about it, like when he has his father's head in the cooler, like, comfortable in there, daddy.
yeah, that makes sense now, actually.
Yeah.
It's starting to come back to me.
Two lifelong fans, come up here, Lester.
What I love about this one as well is that, like, he goes, like, first of all, the fact that when he reads the letter, he's like, you should be proud that children everywhere, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, bling, blah, blah, bling, bling, blah.
Yeah, it's like, hi, egghead, sing Fair Harvard. It's like, why would he come back after he's been so insulted? It's like, Fair Harvard.
Oh, he gets crumpled up paper ball in his mouth and then gets whacked in the forehead with a nameplate.
The nameplate, Love the noise. It's the small touches, but the noise of the nameplate hitting the ground after it hits his head.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he sort of lands. Big fan of that.
So the kids decide they're going to put Grandpa's name on it. He's pretty out of it. He let those guys use a checkbook for a whole year. And we cut over to Grandpa's room. And he's typing up a letter, and he's, while I read your magazine, I don't see one wrinkled face or single toothless grin. For shame to the sickos at Modern Bride magazine. Now, I don't know if you,
old person up, move.
If you picked up on this scene, as he's typing right to left, the camera is moving left to right. Did you notice that? I thought it was really interesting piece of art direction, that as he's typing, and you know the way the typewriter moves your page and then you have to push it back? As he's doing that, the camera is moving in the opposite direction. And I was like, that's really interesting, really cool. Like,
so it's kind of like the bit of the typewriter that goes out to the side, like that's staying put and the camera's revolving?
Kind of like that, yeah.
I get you. It's
cool.
Didn't even pick up on it. See, I don't notice these subtle nuances that you do.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
So many of those jokes go completely over my head.
Yeah, but good anyway. Thing I'm here then, huh?
And also, one thing that I thought with this one, when he's like, they ask him his first name and he checks his underwear. He's like, call me Abraham Simpson. And I was like, oh shit, this is the first time you actually get his first name.
Is it actually his first time? It's not.
I think so.
No, because he had a girlfriend. Remember, he had your one when he won all the, or when she left him all the money. B. There's no way he's just called himself Grandpa to her.
I guess they would have mentioned it. They would have mentioned it.
Hold on.
No, I'm finding out live on air.
You keep vamping there.
So, anyway,
what's in the news?
Well, no, I can't. I can't find it. But
hold on, maybe
let me just literally Google. When do you discover Grandpa Simpson's name?
Well, Abraham Simpson the first. Abraham Simpson. No, that's great. That's his great grandfather, apparently.
There's so many
wiki wormholes you'll fall down into.
I know. Just say what episode do you first get it. Anyway, I don't know, but we'll find out for you people. And we'll stick it somewhere.
Yeah, right. Well. Anyway. Where were we? You completely derailed us. Oh, his underwear.
Yeah, he gets his underwear. But what I liked about it is when he's like, how'd you take off your underwear without taking off your pants? It's like, I don't know.
I don't know. So then we're back over to Roger Myers. And that writer again, he's like, you locked me out of my office and I wanted to get my Harvard mug.
Like, shut up. Throws the thing at him again as well.
Cracks it at him again. I love your man's reaction. He's like, oh. Like,
I know.
Just taking it with good nature.
Taking everything.
Like, Roxy, get me Abraham Simpson.
Like, of course, he's just happy to get the call as well. Phone call, Simpson.
I love it. Like, she asks him if it's the Abe Simpson who wrote the episode. He's like, is he and what? You must be some kind of crazy person.
Like, I have a substantial check here for Mr. Abraham Simpson. That's right. I did the Iggy.
So, we're back with Homer. It seems like a while before since we checked in with him. He's looking at his yearbook and his quote, I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
Classic.
I've co-opted that quote for many pieces of my life. It was actually my yearbook quote in Ars Goriach as well.
Wasn't that on like one of your... like Bebo profiles?
I think it's on my WhatsApp.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, that too.
Yeah. True fans.
I think that's my status on WhatsApp.
It is, actually. Yeah, I forgot. I knew I seen it somewhere.
So activities, none. Sports, none. Honors, none. So many memories.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that joke.
And it's time to go to the reunion, Andy.
It'll be
great to see the old gang again. Potsy, Ralph Mouth, the Fonz.
That was happy days.
No, they weren't all happy days. Like the time Pinky Tuscadero crashed her motorcycle. Or the night I lost all my money to those card sharks and my dad, Tom Bosley, had to get it back. Great joke.
No, they weren't all happy days.
Just the cadence in which he said it. Like, then we're over to the high school reunion, and I love... First of all, I love the name.
Love it.
Dundelinger.
Principal Dundelinger.
Principal Dundelinger. And he's like, he's so happy to see Marge. And then he sees Homer. He's like, I'm sorry, sir. We're not letting vagrants sleep in the gym tonight. But we'll be putting some scraps by the back door.
Like, don't.
Oh, it's you, Simpson.
Yeah. Like, it's almost like Homer is disappointed that the scraps won't or will be by the back door, but that he can't sleep in the gym tonight. That's what I got from that, though, that he was actually disappointed at his offer, you know?
I thought it was more that the man assumed he was a vagrant.
I like
So they see...
I was going to say, I like when they get into the actual thing. Your man, the class clown, is just doing the same material, like 70s material.
Yeah.
Really nice
and
touch.
This is me, like, if we're being fair out and somebody's doing an impression, I'd be like, huh, do you know who that is? Like, Richard Nixon. You know? And Faye's reaction would be the exact same. Like, I know. Like, I'm not an idiot.
I do that sometimes with, like, Carrie. Yeah. But, like, sometimes you get someone, like, that she should really know. And she just won't get them. Or, like, we'd be watching something and I'd be like, do you know what she's from? And, like, a lot of times the reaction is just, please. You think I don't know who they're from?
Yeah.
But, like, I'm always doing that myself. Just testing, like, where have you seen that favorite game before?
Yeah. Best game. And we see Marge's old boyfriend, Artie Ziff.
Interesting that we're talking about change of voices. This one is not voiced by your man, John Lovitz.
John Lovitz. It's voiced by Dan Castellaneta.
Yeah. But again, I mean, like,
you can tell.
I'd notice if you put them side by side, but at the time I was like, yeah, that's Artie Ziff.
Now I notice, like, when anytime I watch it now, but if when I was younger, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that. And they actually do come back to this plot point in, like, season whatever, 15 or something.
Yeah.
Where Homer's like, I bet you'd trade it all for, like, you know, indecent proposal.
Night with my wife, yeah.
I think he does offer him loads of money to have a weekend with Marge or something.
Yeah, something. They were on a ship or something, I remember.
Yeah, his ocean cruiser. Yeah. Like.
And then we actually get into they're giving out some awards, which we have a clip of, which we will play and come back.
Before we get into that, does the clip include his impression of Cheech and Chong?
Yes.
Okay. Because I want to talk about that.
Okay. We'll play it and come back.
Okay.
Hey, man, it's Dave. Open up, man.
Dave's not here, man.
Okay, now let's move on.
The guy's so high, he doesn't even know that's Dave.
Homer?
Homer's not here, man.
Okay, very good. Now let's get on with our really big show.
Ed Sullivan, shh.
First, the award for the alumnus who's gained the most weight, Homer Simpson.
Oh, my God!
How'd you do it, Homer?
I discovered a meal between breakfast and brunch.
And now the award for most improved odor, Homer Simpson.
Yes!
And the person who traveled the least distance to be here will kiss my grits, Homer Simpson.
What can I say? It hasn't been easy staying in my rut.
Class of 74, I was just leafing through your permanent records when I discovered something shocking. Homer Simpson never passed Remedial Science 1A and thus never graduated from high school. I'm sorry, Simpson. I'm going to have to take back those awards.
This is how it goes, Smell. Homer Simpson is a boob. What do you think, JJ? Dynamite!
Didn't graduate? How low can you get?
Barney, where's your cummerbund?
It fell in the toilet.
So possibly my favorite part of this clip is Homer, like, cracking up at the very start. And he's like, he doesn't even know that's Dave. He's like, Homer. Homer, he's like, Homer's not here, man. Really just amusing.
He's having a great time. And there's like another name drop as well where he's like, let's get on with our really big shoes. Ed Sullivan.
Really big shoes. Yeah.
And like,
the
awards that he actually wins, like,
yeah, I agree.
Like, why would they give an award for the person who traveled the least distance to be here?
Most improved odor?
That was particularly important to him.
Yeah. And I like the
also, why was Principal... Go on.
Because he's an arsehole. I was just going to say that. Like,
he's leaping through,
he leaping
the, permanent
through the permanent records. What?
He just happened to discover that Homer never passed remedial science. When
he has it in for a man, Homer.
Don DeLinger. That crusty old dean.
I did like the how it caps off with Barney at the end. Didn't graduate. How low can you get? This guy, I don't know who the guy is. Like, where's your cummerbund? It fell in the toilet. In the
toilet. I like the fact that afterwards Homer's so dedicated. He's like, I'm gonna go to night school, earn my high school diploma, and get back my most improved odor trophy.
Yeah, that's the thing that means the most to him.
Yeah, that means
the most improved odor. So we're over to the Itchy and Scratchy lot, and you see Roger Myers and Abe, and he's like, "You're a Kamen Rider? My God, you're so old.
I want my check."
You're a writer, all right. Here you go, Simpson.
This is a real in-joke for writers, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, "I want another one." Like, "You're a funny guy. How would you like a staff job? I'll set you at $800 a week." And it's just like, even then he's like, he kicks down the door to the writer's room. "All right, leeches, I want you to see what a good writer looks like. His name is Abraham Simpson, and he's got something you couldn't get at your fancy schools. Life experience."
"Actually, you know, I wrote my thesis on life experience and..."
Quiet! Abe, tell him about your amazing life.
"I spent 40 years as a night watchman at the Cranberry Silo."
Wow.
I would love to just do the whole script and act out all the characters.
Alternate.
Yeah.
Maybe bonus episode down the line.
Yeah.
So then we're over to Krusty, and again, like, "So this patch steadily releases nicotine into my body, eliminating the need for cigarettes?"
Just like telling the kids.
Going to yeah. Why is he advertising that on his kids' show? Like,
I know. It's like, "And so this patch steadily releases nicotine." Like, the kids don't care. Just be professional.
Yeah. Roll the cartoon. So they see the cartoon on TV and they go to turn it up, but they accidentally turn it to who knows what. But I did like erosion is a slow but steady process. It's like something in the desert, like.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I don't know how you describe it. It's like a ballad version, maybe, of the Itchy and Scratchy theme song.
I was a big fan of the whole end, like, credits, like Itchy and Scratchy Productions, where they're on the typewriter together, writing a script.
Very good. Very good. It's some right. I had it written down somewhere. It's a piss take on. There's a TV production company that used to have that at the end credits.
Oh right.
Of their shows, because Family Guy sort of did it as well. Yeah. So
I've never picked up on that.
That's what that is. So Homer comes in. He has something to tell the kids. And they basically say, Bart says, "Whatever you say, you know I'll have my love and respect." And then he says, "I never graduated high school." And they just start like pissing themselves laughing. And then Bart gets choked by Homer, of course.
The classic gag.
Classic. Yeah.
when it gets to Abe, like at the door, like Abe knocks on the door and he's like, "It's on my way home. I thought I'd drop by." He's like, "They pay me $800 a week to tell a cat and a mouse what to do. I see." He just imagines him just sitting, wheeling him into the nut house.
Yeah. like, can we talk to Willow for a minute? It's like, okay, but if he starts to wig out, try and lure him into the cellar. Yeah. I love the clothes that Abe is wearing as well.
Yeah.
Like the zoot suit.
Yeah, it is a zoot suit. I was trying to think of the name. Zoot suit. Another quality show.
Yeah. So they say they're gonna or they ask Grandpa why he didn't wonder why he was getting checks for doing absolutely nothing.
He thought the Democrats were in power.
Democrats are back in power, like, ooh, political jab there. And so they're gonna write the scripts and split the money three ways, but Abe wants to sleep on it. Falls instantly asleep.
The classic grandpa gag.
And then, yeah, of course, he's old. And then he says, "Why did you wake me? I was having the nicest dream. He dreamt." He was queen of the old West.
Yeah. Like, okay.
I kept a six-shooter in my garter, I did.
It's like, do you have a deal? Sure. It was a weird dream, like, where he's just like, he goes back to it. It's like, "You can both marry me." And they both just start firing their guns in the air.
So then we're over in the studio, and it's Grandpa and the kids and Roger Myers. And he asks Abe, does he want to tour the studio?
Are there stairs?
Just one.
Nuts to you. I was a big fan of the next guy where they're walking down the hall and you keep seeing the same thing as they're passing. Where, like, it must be expensive. It's like, our animators will reuse the same backgrounds over and over. it's just the same thing. Like the woman sweep, the woman mopping, and like the water cooler. Do you have any particular cartoons in mind that you notice that from more than others?
Scooby-Doo, I assume, was the one that
to me. I never really watched Scooby-Doo. Tom and Jerry as well. I was thinking Tom and Jerry. Yeah, I noticed they did it a lot.
Yeah.
Had to be done.
Yeah. Cost got a measure. So we're over to Homer in science class.
I'm already laughing at what's coming up.
He's like, "Welcome to Remedial Science 1A. My wife recently passed away. I thought teaching might ease my loneliness."
Why would he admit that to the class? Will this be on the test?
He's like, "No."
Yeah. Like, he just, like, as crudely
dead
written.
Wife.
Yeah, dead wife. Like, no remorse or no, like, doesn't care. Just, like, dead wife. Like, ah.
So we're back over to Krusty, and he's like, "Hey, Mal, bring me another nicotine patch. I think there's some space on my butt." Covered head to toe in those little circles.
Plus, I noticed with this one, they announced the fact that it's an Itchy and Scratchy cartoon by Abraham Simpson. When everyone cheers.
Yeah.
They never normally do. It's not like written by, you know. And like, they only had one before that.
Yeah, exactly. I guess it's just a plot device to let you know they're still making them. So we're back in science class, and it's they're going to burn this donut to show how much fat is in it. And Homer like shrieks in horror. It's like, "The bright blue flame indicates this was a particularly sweet donut."
This is not happening. It's like they're killing something right in front of him.
Yeah.
No.
And so we're back over with Grandpa, and he's in front of his typewriter.
Yeah. Dear Mr. President, there are too many states nowadays. Please eliminate three. I am not a crackpot.
And Roger Myers enters. Good news, Abe.
Who are you?
Oh no, you've been nominated for an award. You're so good, I fired the other writers. From now on, the fate of the entire company rests on that delightful coconut of yours.
Oh no, we're all doomed. I'm a complete fraud.
Huh? What's that? I didn't catch any of that. And now I gotta go.
Love that joke.
No follow up. Like,
like, what's that? Oh, I gotta go. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, leeches.
I love Roger Myers in this
He's
episode.
Really good. Yeah. And then we're back over to Homer and Dundelinger. All right, here are your exams. 50 questions, true or false?
True.
Homer, I was just describing the test.
True.
Homer, just take the test and you'll do fine.
False. And again, another instant where he's talking to his brain. He's like, you don't like me and I don't like you. Let's just do this and I can get back to killing you with beer. And his brain answers, it's a deal. Also, I have a question. Why is Dundelinger doing, like, 30
the
years
night course,
later,
yeah.
The night course. Well, although I guess he explained his wife passed away.
Yeah. There you go. So Grandpa is practicing his speech. He says, thank you for this award. It is a tribute to this great country that a man who once took a shot at Teddy Roosevelt could win back your trust. So we'd believe that he tried to kill the president.
Yeah.
Or does take a shot mean like punch, I wonder?
I wouldn't put it past him that he tried to take a shot at the president.
And he asked the guys, did they call the girl from the escort service? And this is a joke you only pick up on it when you're older. Like, they said their insurance won't cover you. Like, oh.
That's an onion in the ointment.
And so we're at the awards, and we're having the award for outstanding writing in a cartoon series.
Let me stop you right there, Terry. We have, if I may, why say it when we can play it? We'll be back after this.
And now, to present the award for outstanding writing in a cartoon series, Krusty the Clown and Brooke Shields.
Well, here we are. The star of the Blue Lagoon and me, the blue-haired goon. What the? That's terrible.
Cartoons have the power to make us laugh and to make us cry. Wouldn't you agree, Krusty?
First of all, my hair is green, not blue. I got nothing to work with here. Nothing.
That's probably my favorite joke in this episode. One of my favorite jokes ever.
I remember you even told me this just like, I can't even remember. It was like a couple of years ago where you reminded me of this scene and I couldn't stop laughing. I'd completely forgotten about it.
It's like, me, the blue-haired goon. What the? That's terrible.
That's terrible.
And it's like, first of all, my hair is green, not blue. I got nothing to work with it.
And me, the blue haired goon.
It's great.
So a classic Krusty as well would just like give out about the writing on air.
No filter.
So, well, I was a fan of the actual nominees for the best writing in a cartoon series, because the first one was Strongdar, Master of Acom, the wedding episode. And it's just like... It's just like they're getting married, I guess. Like, He-Man is just getting married. That's that.
Yeah, he looks really nervous, like...
And then everyone applauds. It's like, Action Figure Man, the How to Buy Action Figure Man episode. It's just like, please, Mom, I want it. And the fact that the mother even looks afterwards, she's like, and then that gets the applause. Ren Stimpy season premiere clip not yet ready. Shots fired.
Yeah,
and then you get the itchy Ippy and Dippy Little Barbershop of Horrors episode.
So they end up winning, but it's a lovely little. I think when Grandpa is watching it, it's a great bit of animation where he actually realizes what it is.
Yeah,
that he has been riding. And it just sort of like everything else sort of goes blurry.
Yeah,
you know, he sort of,
it's good animation.
I love his speech where he says, "It was the first time he ever saw Itchy and Scratchy, and he didn't like it one bit. It was disgusting and violent. I think all you people are despicable. For shame."
People throwing stuff. I noticed a pineapple even gets thrown at him as he's walking off stage. Too.
And he's right. Bet, like, he's
wasting our lives.
Terrible cartoons. I'm going to do what I've always dreamed of. I'm going to write that sitcom about that sassy robot.
What is the award that they get? Is it like a Golden Globe?
I think it's an Emmy, but like... Or it's meant to look like an Emmy, but it's I think the annual Cartoon Awards is the official... of the award show, like.
Plus, wasn't it at the start because it was like a huge venue, and then it was like today, the Cartoon Awards, like tomorrow, like cleaning or spraying for rats or something like that.
Yeah.
Always love those sign gags.
So he gives the award to Bart and Lisa, and they kind of say, "I guess nobody likes the truth, huh, Grandpa?" And Bart says he'll never watch an award show again unless that delightful Billy Crystal's involved. So last scene of the episode, or second last, we're back with Homer and Marge, and Homer has passed. He says next school reunion he'll have nothing to be ashamed of. And you see Dundelinger is still alive somehow.
Yeah, it's like another, what, I don't know, like 50 years or something?
25 years. I think it's 50th reunion, so like...
Oh, 50th reunion, that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, so 2024, hello. Like...
Hello, Dundelinger.
Simpson, is that a plunger on your head?
No.
Oh, and then we have, briefly, that's the end of the story, I guess, and then we have the little... Ned Flanders.
Everyone else loves Ned Flanders. It does seem... I never even thought at the time, but like, it's completely just thrown in. Like, it's so weird. Eat up
seconds, like...
Like, I remember thinking it was... Though. Yeah, like, it's funny on its own, but it's just kind of weird that just like out of nowhere, with no setup, this little snippet, it's like, you know, what are we watching? Is it TV?
It's kind of very sitcom-y, like, you know.
It
that's
is,
what
yeah.
I like about it, I guess. Like, you know.
And, sure, if it inspired that 22 short stories about Springfield episode, then it was worth using.
I do like when he's like, get ready, we're going to church. Like, we're not going to church today. He's like, what?
Give me one good reason. Really, it was the first time
it's
you actually
Saturday.
Seen. Yeah. Oh, golly, do, golly, do. It's the first time that you actually see Ned, like, angry. He's like, you give me one good reason.
That's well,
it was good. It was good standalone.
Rage coming out there.
Oh, yeah. Bubbling up for a second.
I thought it was a nice little capper, I guess.
It was,
So I'm pretty excited to get into ratings here, Andy, if you're ready.
I am ready. Let me ask you, if I may, what did you... How would you rate this episode?
I'm pretty high on this episode, I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of good stuff in it. I'm going to give it the old 8.7 nameplates to the forehead. I liked both stories. I like both stories in it. Like Homer's one was a bit short and sweet, but it kept us going just to check in on it. It wasn't too distracting. And they sometimes crossed over as well, which I liked.
Yeah.
You know, they had a bit of interplay. I kind of always like anything to do with Homer and Marge's early life as well, so they could, you know, linking back in with that with their high school reunion.
Yeah.
Was a bit of a fun thing. And a lot of funny stuff in it. Really is a lot of good stuff in it. A lot of meta in jokes, but it's good writing.
It is good writing.
I laughed out loud quite a bit.
Yeah, I did too. This was another one of those episodes where I was like, again, I was so dismissive of season 4 before we got into this, but I was like, oh, this is in season 4 too? I was like, brilliant.
Yeah.
So you give it a what? You got anything to say? 8.7 you gave it, was it?
Yeah, 8.7.
I would probably give it a 7.7. 7.7.
7.7?
Yeah.
No pleasing you.
I'm very easily pleased. Like, 7.7 is a good score.
Clearly.
But I'm saving the real, you know, we still have season 5, 6, 7, 8. I thought
this
that
is
this...
better. I think 4 is better than 8.
I have to watch them again. I very much enjoyed the episode. But I didn't like. I don't even have any issues with it. It was just as far as laugh out loud moments. I had a few big laugh out loud moments, but I think even some previous episodes in this season gave me more.
That's okay.
I also liked the fact that it had two storylines, as we've discussed. We're big fans of here at Put It in H. I just think like that sort of allows more laughs. You know what I mean? Like when it's just one story, you have to sort of go through the whole, you know, the comedy and then the story resolution and all this. But when you have two, you can be a lot quicker with it, I guess, you know.
I think if when you have two that are strong enough, like there's some where it's they've had two and the other one is like, what is going on? Like,
yeah.
Whereas at least this one here, it made sense. It didn't seem too wacky or zany, you know. It's a real life situation where you're going to your high school reunion or whatever like that. Like,
but no, I was a big fan. You got an
MVP?
It's got to be Roger Myers.
Yeah. If you're going Roger Myers, I'm going to go Krusty just for his three or four great gags.
So. Krusty was great in this too.
He's on fine form.
Also a special mention for Dundlinger.
Well, I think actually Homer is quite good in this one as well.
Homer is good. Homer's great this whole season, to be honest.
Yeah. Homer's not here, man.
And what do we normally do now? Do we normally do the plugs first or the next episode first?
Let's do the plugs. Get them out of the way.
Let's get these plugs. Where can they find us, sir?
You can find us... Well, funny you should ask. You can find us on Facebook.com at Put It In H, a Guy Head Simpsons podcast. Yes.
Facebook. You can find us on www.facebook.com.
.org. Can they find us anywhere else? On Facebook, we'll normally have some pictures, videos. You can, drop us a message or a question, anything like that. You can put it there.
Please.
You can also email us at putitinhpod@gmail.com if you have any questions, queries, comments, complaints, anything like
complaints.
That.
Send in the complaints. See what happens. Send in the complaints.
anywhere else they can find us, Andy?
They can find us on Twitter at Put It in H Podcast, which we also share. The episodes go up on Twitter. We also put up some hilarious GIFs of the upcoming episodes as well. And if I may take a minute to thank the guys at the Frinkiac.com website, without whom I don't know this podcast would even be possible. They just have an absolutely every single still shot or scene from The Simpsons. It makes it such a dream to put the episode together in production and to come up with like the picture for it or the GIF or whatever like that. So big props to Frinkiac.
Alright, Frinkiac.
But we don't... what else have I got? No, that's it, I think, as far as where they can find us. You can find us, obviously, on iTunes. And all good...
Or any other good podcast
apps.
Applications.
Feel free...
If you want to...
Feel free to give us a rating, a review. Only positive, only 5 stars, as we've said many times in the past.
5 stars only.
You know what to do. Do you know what they...
He knows where you live. He'll come get you if you don't give a 5-star review.
But thank you very much to the few people who
come
have
choke
left.
You out.
Thank you to the people who have. And that's,
we all know he's
capable. That comes from the both of us.
No. I'm speaking for Andy Cantwell only.
I just get a call from the door. Like, so you think you're a tough guy, huh?
Goons.
Do you know what episode is coming up next week?
Next episode is season 4, episode 20. It is Whacking Day.
A classic. Written by John Swartzwelder himself.
Whack. very good.
Guest starring
I
Larry
White. I look forward
White.
To it. The sexy slither of a lady snake.
I look forward to that one. Indeed. A pleasure as always, Terry.
And to you.
And
that doesn't make sense, but yes. Thank you.
Thank you to the people. It's so late.
Goodbye, everybody. It's so late.
It's so late.
Good night.
All right. See ya.
Trying to tell you, it's time to get down something. You can't think of all the wrong and all the wrong of the world.